My guest at this time is Robert J. Smith. He's a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. The center is spearheading a major effort to convince President Trump and his advisors, including Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, to take much larger steps to reform the Antiquities Act and revisit what they see as President Obama's overly aggressive designations of U.S. lands as national monuments. Mr. Smith joins me now to discuss this issue, what it all means, and why it ought to matter to millions of Americans. And RJ, thanks very much for being with us.
It's good to be on with you, Greg.
Well, let's start with explaining what these things are. First of all, what is the Antiquities Act, and what do national monument designations do? What are they supposed to do?
Well, the Antiquities Act was passed in 1906. In those days, the western United States was essentially wild lands. Nobody was on the land. All the land was owned by the government. There were no government agents out there. Population in the West was teeny. And there was wholesale looting and pillaging and destruction of Indian sites, cliff dwellings, burial sites, archaeological sites, and also some natural geological sites like dinosaur fossil beds or petrified forests with beautiful wood. And all these were out on federal lands, and they were being looted. So Congress passed the 1906 Antiquities Act, giving the president unique unilateral power to designate something as a national monument, to designate one of these sites as a national monument and include the smallest area compatible around it to protect the archaeological site or the geological site. And then this, once it had this federal level of protection on it, you know, people knew that it was being watched and so on, and it was hopeful that this would then prevent, because it was totally illegal then to come into those sites and to loot them or do any damage to them.
So that's the intention. Obviously, over 100-plus years, there can be some mission creep. We've seen that certainly in government in a lot of places. But how has this Antiquities Act, the designation of national monuments, how has that become to have been used now, and how is it possibly being abused now?
Well, it's being used whole scale for political reasons and for philosophical reasons. And perhaps the first great total and complete misuse of the Antiquities Act occurred back in 1996 when President Clinton, Secretary Babbitt, and Clinton's very radical environmentalist advisor, Mr. Podesta, designated very quietly and secretly, as a matter of fact, designated a monument in Utah called the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. It was 1.9 million acres of land in southeastern Utah. And part of this, they knew this was going to be unpopular, because instead of letting any of the people of Utah know, like the governor of Utah or the congressional delegation of Utah, or having the announcement in Utah itself, Babbitt was out there in Arizona on the Grand Canyon, and he was on the south side of the Grand Canyon, about as safe as you can be, away in south of Utah itself. And the purpose of that was two things. One, to lock up this vast area of all kinds of mineral resources. Among other things, it included the Kaparowitz coal deposits, one of the two largest EPA-compatible clean coal deposits on the planet. Enough clean coal to, you know, run the U.S. for hundreds of years, and that had been anticipated that this would be a major source of future energy use in America. And the environmentalists, the radical environmentalists, wilderness buffs and so on, had wanted all this land locked up. And they were threatening the Clinton administration that they would call for a wholesale boycott of the election that fall in 1996 and ask all the Greens to vote for a Green candidate, everybody who cared about the environment, and not for Clinton. And they were sort of worried, and this was what they did. They just locked up nearly 2 million acres of land, and all the mineral resources, all the potential jobs, all the land use that was inside of there. And then after that, there was sort of a landslide in that direction. More and more people started using it for those kind of purposes. Not only did Clinton do that, but George W. Bush did that, and then Obama really did it in spades.
Talk briefly about how much Obama did.
Well, Obama threw one after another at us, and he did another big one in Utah. The Democrats don't seem to like Utah, I suppose because it's a very Republican state and keeps electing Republican governors and senators and congressmen and so on. And so they keep locking up Utah in, as you know, essentially what are amount to quasi-national parks or quasi-wilderness areas. You can't do any use of the natural resources on them. And limit strongly any other uses. One that Obama did, he created the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah, very close to the Grand Staircase. I mean, they're essentially locking up all of southern Utah as national monuments. This was done in 2016 because there are a few cliff dwellings here and there, a few areas that were important to some of the Indian tribes that are there now and were there historically. And this was 1.4 million acres of land that was locked up. And again, this closes down, real, among other things, it closes down real jobs. I mean, people who have the possibility of being involved in mining or energy production or forestry and get real paying jobs. Suddenly, those are all can't come into fruition. There can be no more of those. And the Greens always say, well, there's tourism. Well, there's a big shift from working as a miner or a roustabout on an oil well to washing toilets and making beds. And it's hard to exist on that. And that also kills the tax base that's coming into the counties out there, and this is a source of most of the money that they get to develop schools and roads and have police and fire protection out there. And studies have been done the 20 years that have passed with the Grand Staircase Escalante, and it's had a very negative effect on the economy of the counties that exist in that area. It often closes motorized recreation, although they say they're not going to do things like that. But then they start closing roads, and so there's no place for the motorized recreation to go. They say it won't involve people who already have grazing rights, grazing permits on those lands. But then cattlemen find that it's increasingly difficult to graze their cattle. They get to a gate with a lock on it, and they found out that somebody changed the lock on them. And it takes 3 or 4 days to get somebody to come out there and open the gate for them. And by then, their cattle are, you know, they're no longer in their herd. They've roamed all over the place. I mean, they keep doing those kinds of things. They just use this to prevent the American people from using their own land. And that's what President Trump said that he would end. He would end this egregious abuse of federal power and return the decisions on how these lands are used to the people who live on the land and the people who live in those counties and the people who live in those states that are affected, and return this power rightly to where it belongs and where it usually is for creating a national park or wilderness area into the hands of Congress.
RJ, let's jump now to what the Trump administration has done so far, because the Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, who's from Montana, has looked at this and has made some recommendations. Explain what he concluded and why you think he's being far too timid here.
Well, he was supposed to look at about 27 of the largest and most egregious national monuments, including things, another invention that they've come up with in recent decades called marine national monuments. And as a matter of fact, one of those was called the Pacific Remote Islands Marine National Monument, created first by George W. Bush and then expanded by Obama. And it's 500,000 square miles of the middle of the Pacific Ocean. 500,000 square miles. That can barely be protecting the smallest area compatible with anything. I mean, look at the first one, Devil's Tower, 2 square miles to 500,000 square miles. And also, it's in the middle of the Pacific, and as far as I know, the Pacific Ocean doesn't qualify as land. And so it's probably, you know, illegitimate, illegal, totally, even under the terms of the Antiquity Act itself. And President Trump asked Secretary Zinke to examine these 27, going back to the first really egregious misuse, the Grand Staircase Escalante, up to the most recent ones he did, like the Katahdin Woods and Waters up in Maine. And Zinke apparently has taken a look at those, and he recommended some minor reductions in the size of four or five of those, and for the rest of them, he just left them as they were. And I think one, that's a sign that at least he's aware of the fact that there are problems with these things, how these things are being misused. But I don't think he has really followed the directions that he got from President Trump to really look at these and end this abuse of federal power. Because on most of them, he has essentially left them as they are. And I think almost all of those, you know, should be, all these ones that were under consideration, all 27, should be rescinded. Recently here in town, there was a gathering of folks who have been affected by these things. There were some Indians from the West. There were people from the lobstering and fishing industries. There were snowmobilers from Maine. And they were all calling for either massive reduction in the size of these or rescinding of those national monuments altogether. There was a very interesting a fellow by the name of Ryan Benally, who's with the Navajo Nation out in Utah, and he actually lives on the land that's included in the Bears Ears National Monument. And he said most of the Indians who the environmentalists are trotting out are people who don't live there. They're people who live somewhere else. And so they're simply being used to say, oh, all this land is being protected. He said, we live on the land, and everything worth protecting is already protected because it's under federal ownership. It's illegal to dig up the Indian burial sites or raid or steal artifacts from the federal lands or from Indian sites to begin with. And he's well aware that once you give the government this much power and you got bureaucrats suddenly all over that land, they're going to be preventing even the native Indians there from doing things like going to certain ceremonial sites, having access to that, being able to bring their elderly people in there, being able to gather various plants that they need for medicinal and religious purposes and so on. And so I think that what President Trump needs to do is when he finally has had a chance to go through the Zinke report, to send him back to the drawing board and say, okay, that's a nice start, but now you really have to do what I suggested, and that's end this abuse of federal power and return this decisions on how to use these lands and resources to the American people.
RJ, a couple of very quick questions before we let you go. I know that the National Center for Public Policy Research is spearheading a campaign of a lot of different interests to put pressure on the president to do this. Talk about that real briefly.
Well, I mean, we saw that there was this outflow of concern from people all over the country who are trying to use the land. And so what we thought might be well worth doing to let the president know that he had strong support from people who live on the land and use the land, that they don't want this intrusion of federal power. They don't want one person, the president, with a stroke of his pen, to be able to override the decisions of the people who live on the land, the county governments, and the potential use of those lands by the people. And so we decided that, because the Greens keep, every time you turn on in the liberal media, you hear stories that, oh, this is going to destroy the land, destroy the resources, destroy these ancient ruins, and so on. No, rescission of national monument designations are not going to destroy anything, because all of those lands are already federally owned lands. They're federally owned, they're federally regulated, and they're federally managed. Now, the government happens to do a poor job of that. I mean, it burns down the forests it owns, things like that, which you don't find the private sector doing, burning down its forests. It can't afford to burn down its forests or let them burn. And so we wanted to let them know that there was support across the nation from all levels of Americans who were supporting what he called on, and we recognize that those lands are already owned and managed and regulated by the federal government, and we don't need them turned into de facto wilderness or de facto parks by a few radical environmental activists who have managed to put pressure on our president.
And very quickly, I know there's been some debate, and I'm sure you've got something to say about it. Some of the arguments for those defending the status quo have said it's not possible to reverse what previous presidents have done in this area. What have you heard about that, and what's the truth?
Well, some of these things have been reversed in the past. There have been national monuments that have been reduced in size in the past, and there are national monuments that have been increased in the past. And we think the president, a lot of legals and constitutional scholars that we've talked to believe that the president can reduce or rescind national monuments created by earlier presidents. And if it turns out that this gets through the court system and the previous designations are upheld, then I think what the next step is for Congress to go back and re-examine the Antiquities Act itself. And I think the thing that needs to really do, Congress really needs to do to settle this once and for all, is to simply repeal the 1906 Antiquities Act. It's an antiquated act. These western lands are not public lands in America. The government's federal lands are not unpopulated and unwatched and being looted and pillaged and destroyed today. In fact, you just about can't do anything on these lands. So almost everything is now illegal. You can't book out on these federal lands. You can't gather up if you find a broken pottery shard or something in a creek bed. You can't pick that up. You can't take that. If you find an arrowheads in a bed, they may come down in a stream for hundreds of miles from where they originally were. You can't take those. You can't go gather up fossils or things like that. You can't do any of these things anyhow. Plus, there are now federal agents, armed federal agents, all over the federal lands. They're being watched by everything from satellites in the skies to drones to airplanes to, observation balloons, cameras, infrared cameras. I mean, there's really no need for this bill whatsoever. I mean, what has now become is just a way for radical environmentalists to instantly turn some land into a quasi-national park or quasi-wilderness.
RJ, we'll call time there. Thanks very much for helping us understand this a whole lot better.
Thank you, Greg.
Robert J. Smith, Senior Fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.